Who be a witness for my Lord? Who be a witness for my Lord? Who be a witness for my Lord? Will you be a witness for my Lord? In the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Sit down. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. Jesus said to them, ... I love the proximity of three small and normally disparate words describing the state of our beloved post-resurrection disciples this morning. Wonder, disbelief, and joy. Wonder, disbelief, and joy. This morning, I want to share three reasons why I think these simple words might be some of the most engaging and hopeful and beautiful for us today. First, I suspect one of these three words, either wonder, disbelief, or joy, or some combination thereof, just might beautifully describe one or more reasons why any of us are here today. Some of us are here wondering what we may find. Some of us are earnestly hoping for a word or insight or feeling or an experience that might help us make sense of our lives and maybe even help give us some meaning and comfort today. Some of us are here with what I would say is a basket full of disbelief. We have an endless supply of doubts and questions, don't we? Maybe we are here because of someone else, maybe a friend or a spouse or maybe a family member who knows our disbelief but helped us get here anyway. And truth be told, without them, we just might not be here this morning. And then some of us are here with an expectation of finding joy. We anticipate that no matter what is said or sung or prayed, when we're done, we will leave here more joyful, more full of joy than when we woke up this morning and did whatever we had to do to slide our way over the ice to get here. We yearn to be greeted by friends, to maybe meet some new people, to be inspired by music, and to hear the promise of the gospel, all of which might help us face the week ahead. Wonder, disbelief, and joy. No one is left out. The second reason I love these three words this morning is that I suspect they not only capture at least a portion of why many of us might be here, but I think they also describe moments of each of our daily lives. It doesn't take me long to think back on times of wonder, disbelief, and joy just in the past few days in my own life. And I suspect the same could be true for each of us if we thought about it for a minute. Which means that not only no one is left out, but that not one part of us is left out. Think about it. At first glance or hearing, there seems to be something incongruent about these three words, right? Not only are they not synonymous, I have thought of them as contradictory at times. I mean, how can I be filled with joy and wonder if I am also filled with disbelief or doubts or questions? Through this interaction with the risen Christ, it seems as if the disciples, and therefore I might go out on a limb and say we too, are invited to bring all of it to the front. We are invited into wonder when we bump into a miracle in our lives and then maybe even realize it is something miraculous. We are invited to bring our disbelief and along with that our disappointment or anger when something in life goes painfully wrong and it feels like God is nowhere to be found. And we are invited to bring our joy when we get caught up in something larger than ourselves and experience something that moves us beyond mere happiness to an experience of wholehearted joy. And the final reason I love these three words together today is that I love we are reminded that our messy, mixed up, unclear, insecure, fearful, doubt-ridden tendencies are not excluded or negated on this journey towards living into what it means to be an Easter people. In short, I have often said that to be a Christian, in the most succinct of definitions for me in the 21st century, might simply mean to embrace the reality that we willingly acknowledge we are both broken and blessed. This passage reminds us that joy and disbelief, wonder and knowledge, courage and fear, confidence and insecurity, these are actually neither polar opposites nor necessarily conditions, but rather simply descriptors of every parcel of our experience as children of God. Our Christian faith, our spiritual path, isn't about embracing perfection of any sort, nor is it about prioritizing only one aspect of our journey. Jesus validates all of it today. Joy, courage, confidence, belief, and at the same time, discouragement, fear, questions, and unbelief. And as I suggested last week when we heard the story of my biblical superhero, Doubting Thomas, faith often takes root when we are willing to give voice to our disbelief and questions. So where does all of that lead us today? What is the good news? And how can embracing these aspects of our lives and reasons for being here help us in our journey to live and love as Christ-centered followers? I think the answer, at least in part, is as small as it is important. In the midst of all the acknowledging of all those seemingly conflicting ways of being or feeling, Jesus simply turns to the disciples and says, "Do you have anything to eat?" Really? Seriously? The resurrected Christ has just come back from the dead and is in the midst of arguably the most earth-shattering of miracles, poised to change the trajectory of religious history forever. And what does he do? He asks for a snack. I love this. I love this. I love this just as much as I love these three words for today. And I would like to believe there is something beautiful and relevant in connection. Much of what we seem to do in ministry can get so heady, so ethereal, and sadly disconnected to the reality of our everyday lived experience. But here, right in the middle of what could have turned into a theological debate about believing or not believing Jesus was really there with them, he doesn't argue. He is truly offering them the moment they need to be present and fully aware of all that they must have been experiencing. He meets them, and I would suggest us, right in that moment. Not jumping ahead, but in a very tangible way. The transliteration of this passage in The Message says it this way. Jesus says, "Don't be upset, and don't let all these doubting questions take over. Look at my hands, look at my feet. It's really me. Touch me." So what does that mean for us today? I think it means we're called to live out the incarnational reality of lived experience. Put more clearly, it is the smallest and most tangible moments in our lives where we might find God revealed and seen and felt and embraced. So bring it all today and every day. Wonder, disbelief, and joy. There is room and space for it all. We are not called as witnesses to this story, this face, this path, because we have it all together, by any means. The story of the risen Christ is nothing helpful if it doesn't meet us in our brokenness and pull us towards a real and grounded and honest way of living into a kind of love that transforms who we are in the process. These scared disciples, time and time again, seem to mirror so well what I think we each do a little bit every day. We lock ourselves away in fear. We forget that this story is not only for us, it is a story about us. We are called to witness not because God or eternal love is dependent on it. We are called to witness for the exact opposite reason. Our ability to make meaning and find purpose in our lives is dependent on learning how to graft ourselves into this narrative and then find the courage to go out and tell stories so that we are changed, being a witness to all these things. So may we go out from here with our whole selves today, embracing our joy and our disbelief and our wonder and sometimes our anger, our expectations, our hopes, our disappointments, our dreams, all of that is alive in our hearts. May we subscribe to Jesus calling us to be witnesses so that we will share our stories, so that we are changed for good. And may we take the time it takes, and believe me, friends, it takes time, to be more generous, to be more curious, to be more willing to listen intently to others in order to see and hear and discover a fuller, deeper, richer tapestry of what it means to be a people of God than we could ever do on our own. Because in each and every moment, we too are invited to embrace equal parts of wonder, disbelief, and joy as we make our way down the road. Oh, and one more last thing. Let's not forget to provide snacks to each other along the way. Really, truly, as a mother, I say the last thing any followers of Christ needs to be, then or now, is spiritually hangry. May it be so.